What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Seltzer Time Podcast. It's your boy Ricky, aka Dick Chuck, aka the man behind the can at Seltzer Time Official. I'm here by myself. So we're gonna try something new for one episode and one episode only, hopefully. Travis has done this in the past and I'm gonna do it tonight, but I'm gonna run the show solo. It's not gonna be as long because I gotta go to bed, but it'll be exciting. I'm interviewing the Jane Fund. So I'm super excited. Hope you guys learn a bunch. Hope you guys just flood their website with donations after this episode. Yeah, that's probably it. I'm not gonna do a whole long crazy intro because it would just be me talking to myself, which is mad weird. So yeah, Brian, you can pull the Jane Fund ladies in whenever you want. Oh, hi.
Hi, Ricky. Hi.
What's up, guys? Cool. So, hello, everybody. This is Liz and Marcy from the Jane Fund. Hi, ladies. How's it going?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's my first time running the show solo, so it's...
We're here to support you.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. Normally, I can, like, bounce things back and forth off of Travis, but tonight, it's just me and you guys. So, I guess we'll start with a little bit about the Jane Fund. When did the Jane Fund start? Kind of a little bit of history about it for those who don't know. Would be great.
Go for it, Marissa.
Okay. The lore is that in somewhere around 1994, a school nurse at Wachusett called a friend of hers in Holden and said, I have this young woman here who needs to be able to get an abortion and she can't pay for it. And that person who she called a friend, a few friends got together, they came up with the money, and that was how the Jane Fund was formed. And so the Jane Fund is a small, non-profit 501c3 private abortion fund, which basically means we collect money and then give it out to people who want to have an abortion but can't pay for it. And it's called the Jane Fund. They named it the Jane Fund for the Jane Collective, which was a group of women in Chicago before abortions were legal who got trained so that they could perform abortions. And they had the protection of the police. I mean, everybody kind of knew what they were doing, but they protected them, took care of them because they were bringing their wives and daughters and sisters and whoever needed them to them. So that's where we got our name.
That's cool. So is there a Jane, or is that just like the collective name?
Sort of like a Jane Doe, like an anonymous person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I had no idea. I had no idea when the Jane Fund started. I didn't realize it was in the 90s. I feel like it's been around forever, but I guess the 90s kind of were forever ago. Cool. So tell us a little bit about your roles. What do you guys do?
You go.
Okay. So I do most of the communications, a lot of the social media, the emails, and the fundraising. And I'm currently board vice president.
And I have done a lot of things. I've been on the board for many, many years. I'm the board secretary. And I also have been doing intake. We have we call it a hotline, but it's really a warm line because you call and leave a message and then the volunteer of the week picks up the messages and returns the phone calls. So I've been doing that since 2004. And by virtue of my grit and stamina, I am the warm line coordinator. So I tend to be the one who trains new people. I also do my week of volunteering. And I reach out to everybody every week and make sure they always call me with questions because it's easier just to ask me. And I also liaise with the various clinics so that because we never want someone to, for example, get to their appointment in Central Mass or anywhere in Massachusetts and be turned away. So if they got there and it turned out they needed more money or were a little farther out than they thought, so they needed more money, or they got there, they had never spoken to us, but came to realize that their insurance actually didn't cover it, or they had a huge copay. The rule is you have them sit and you call us. And then we work out the finances.
Okay, that's really good to know. So you said calls. Is it all call based, or can people who need the assistance reach out via email or any other like anything through social media, or do you like strictly keep it call based?
people do reach out to us through social media and I give them the phone number. People have to call. We have one volunteer who speaks Spanish, and we would obviously work out, you know, some kind of translation service should someone call us who speaks a different language than English or Spanish. Just to clarify, folks call us when they're pregnant and they already have an appointment at a clinic. So that's okay. The first step if someone needs our help. And then they call and they leave a message, and one of our intake volunteers will call them back and simply find out how much money do you need? What's the gap between what you have and the cost of your procedure? And, you know, abortions cost more than I think most people realize. So if you want to go to the clinic here in Worcester, it's going to be like $750, which is way more than most people have to spend on an unexpected bill. And even folks who have health insurance, the deductible or the copay can be more than they can afford. And, you know, we don't know a lot about our callers because we don't ask them intrusive questions. A long time ago, you know, there were questions like, well, can you, is there anyone else in your life you can ask to loan you money? But we don't do any of that. And if someone calls and they're from our area, from central Massachusetts, and they say, I need $50, we've got them. If they say, I need $1,000, we'll cover it. Like anyone in Central Mass, if they call us and they need help paying for their abortion, we will cover whatever they need, no matter how much it is. And if somebody needs to go to Maryland because they're past 24 weeks, then, you know, that's a really, really big bill.
And we're talking, that could be $10,000.
Oh,
wow. And we really start fundraising.
Yes.
That's with like travel expenses and all that, or just strictly?
No, that's just the procedure cost.
Wow.
Because healthcare is wildly expensive. And for folks who don't have health insurance to cover it in particular, it's, you know, people with insurance rarely encounter the actual cost of their healthcare, but it's a lot.
Wow, that's wild. So I guess like simple question. Not simple question, but there are insurance plans that will cover it or will assess with it.
Often there's a big copay, or someone's got a $2,000 deductible and they haven't begun making inroads on that yet. So we'll help people even if it's just paying toward their deductible. Wait, I had something else to say and I forgot.
It'll come back to you.
It will.
While you think about it.
I'm having a moment.
Oh, I thought you remembered. okay, cool. So, you mentioned donations. This, everything is strictly donation based, all fundraising. That's where like all the funds come from.
Yeah. We've gotten grants before for things like updating our website, but all of the money that we're pledging to clinics on behalf of callers comes from our supporters, who are very, very generous.
We have one donor who has a fund that was their great, great aunt's money. And she was a big like supporter of women's rights. And so they give us a hefty donation every year out of that, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Do you see a lot of the same people donating every year, or is there a lot of fresh like turnover?
Some of each. So right now we're doing what's called Fundathon, which we're part of an umbrella organization. There's a whole national network of abortion funds called the National Network of Abortion Funds. And every fund in this network does an April or spring fundraiser where, and you know this because you're doing one, folks can fundraise on our behalf to raise money. And it's all online, and it's a great way for people to connect their networks to the Jane Fund. And even if, you know, the donations are smaller, we appreciate every $5, $10 donation. We're going to turn that around for someone in crisis. And it's a great way to cut abortion stigma, because I think people don't know that people in their lives have either an experience with abortion or are supportive enough to do this fundraiser. I think it's not something people talk about. It's often a taboo topic. And
yeah, totally.
Fundathon is a great opportunity for people to kind of let their views be known, which we're really glad to see as well.
It's abortion access April.
That's what we call it.
One of my questions was, why April? Is that just, it kind of fits with abortion access?
That's when Fundathon happens. It's a spring. It's a spring event. There are others at other times of the year that the network puts on.
Cool. And then, so it's Jane Fund in Central Mass, but so are there other Jane funds like throughout the state, or are you guys like the only Jane fund and then everybody else falls under that umbrella?
All right. So National Network Abortion Funds probably has like 80 to 90 funds across the United States that are part of it. So that's our umbrella organization. And everyone has a different name.
Okay. But
there is a Jane Doe fund in Michigan, and sometimes billing gets confused with them. I've met them at conventions, but everyone has different names. And Massachusetts is this tiny little state, and we have three funds. We have an Eastern Mass Abortion Fund that goes out to like Framingham, North South, then Central Mass Jane Fund. We go out to Sturbridge, North South, and then the Abortion Rights Fund of Western Mass. And we text each other, call each other, are in touch with each other anytime we need, you know, if there's a big case and we need collaborative funding, we all help each other out.
That's awesome.
And then there's the whole Eastern Seaboard, which is on another big listserv for some of the big, big expensive have to travel for appointments, and we all chip in.
Okay. Wow. That's cool. I didn't know if there was like multiple Jane funds and there were just like branches. Okay. You mentioned other like fundraising events. Are there other events we should know about throughout the year, or is that something that hasn't been announced yet?
The pandemic has really thrown off how we do fundraisers, but typically we have a big annual meeting in January. And that used to be in person, and now it's kind of a publication that goes out in the mail. And there are other events we've done. We've done a beer and taco event in September. And then other, you know, we love when people say, I want to host a house party and I'll invite everyone over and tell them all about the Jane Fund, and we'll have one of you come and explain what you do and raise money that way. So if anyone is, you know, needs an excuse to throw a party,
get your friends together out on the deck this summer, I'll come talk anytime.
See that? We'll figure it out. I'll talk to Travis. We'll have like a Seltzer Time, an official Seltzer Time Jane Fund meetup.
I remembered what I was going to say. Massachusetts is one of how many states are there that where our state subsidized health insurance covers abortion care.
Okay.
So Massachusetts is committing to covering full reproductive health care. Many states do not, which is basically means that anybody who's at that level of poverty and needs state subsidized health insurance is not going to get the proper health care that they need. And so we do also spend a lot of time connecting people who don't have insurance or who may qualify for MassHealth as a secondary insurance if their primary doesn't cover it, if their income is low enough, helping them to get on it so they can get what they need because the state's committed to doing it.
Yeah.
But we don't need to be filling that gap with our private funds when they are doing.
Totally.
And they care about it and are following up that it's happening.
Cool. That's awesome. I mean, we're lucky.
So for example, there could be someone who is in the military. Well, guess what? If you are in the military, that's TRICARE, that's federal health insurance. You're shit out of luck as far as paying for your full reproductive health care because they won't cover it because of a lovely thing called the Hyde Amendment, which made sure that no federal money could ever be used to pay for abortions. So in Massachusetts, if your income is low enough, and let's say you work for Social Security or you're in the military and you need to get an abortion, you might qualify for MassHealth as a secondary, and they will, if they deem your primary insurance to be insufficient, which in that case it is, then you'll be covered. So we really are committed to helping people, and we'll say, once you're on insurance, that's a win because you need it. You need to be insured. And if you still qualify, even after you're not pregnant, then you've got insurance. So you've done, it's all good.
Yeah. That's a good segue to my next question. So with everything that's going on in Texas and other parts of the country, are you guys getting like flooded with calls from other states, or like how does that process work?
I think we used to have a little chunk of money that we saved aside for people from other states. And then we were always flooded with phone calls. That bucket was never empty. That was a bottomless pit of need. Yeah. So what we did was instead we decided to stop taking out-of-state phone calls unless they're people who are traveling great distance at great expense. And then we're hearing from a clinic on that, a fundraiser at the clinic.
Okay.
And instead, we send a monthly donation to the Collective Power Fund, which is part of National Network of Abortion Funds. And they send that money to the funds that are in places that are hardest hit and need it the most.
Okay.
So it's still getting to them, but we're not doing it personally because those phone calls were killing us.
Oh, yeah.
We could only help like the first three and then we were out of money.
And it didn't feel like, it felt a little bit too much like a lottery, whereas the Collective Power Fund gives the money to clinics down south and in the Midwest primarily. And then those abortion funds can use the money the way that their community needs it. You know,
okay.
us getting phone calls from Oklahoma is not as informed a way of distributing money as the fund in Oklahoma doing
right.
it, you know?
Yeah. They're on the ground with their people.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So we're really happy to have made that change. And we sent a good amount of money. Mm-hmm. So.
But I really like that question, Ricky, because I keep hearing people saying, like, I'm so glad we're in Massachusetts because our access to reproductive health care and reproductive rights feels secure. But I think it's worth noting that when people start traveling farther and farther, so for example, folks in Texas were going to Oklahoma, and then now Oklahoma has new legislation, and folks in Oklahoma would have gone somewhere else, and now Kentucky and Florida also have new laws. And, you know, access may grow scarcer everywhere. These restrictions in other states may affect access everywhere. And federal legislation could always override our state rights as well. So it's a really chilling time to be doing this volunteer work. And I don't say that about people from other states coming here to mean like, we need to, you know,
think like,
about
don't come
in terms of scarcity and be selfish.
Yeah.
But rather just that we're not immune to this. And people who care about reproductive rights really need to get involved with a local abortion fund because the funds have already created this huge network that's very efficient and full of informed, thoughtful people. I mean, not to like toot our own horns, but like, you know, every once in a while, there will be a new piece of legislation and someone will say like, well, gosh, we should create a network. And it's like, no, it exists.
Yeah.
Join us. Don't reinvent the wheel. And, you know, we all need to fight for these kind of rights wherever they're being taken away.
Absolutely. So I guess so you work with the clinics and then nationally, there's like an umbrella organization that works with all of the different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the clinics are connected to like the umbrella organization is through you guys?
So the National Network of Abortion Funds offers support and guidance and grants and kind of thought leadership.
Lots of thought. Values alignment so that we're all aligned.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a really interesting thing to bring up because, you know, the Jane Fund is a very white fund. and the movement of reproductive justice was pioneered by and continues to be led by Black women and other women of color and other people of color who have really said like, okay, pro-choice is okay, but it's only a choice if you know you have access, if you know you have the means to pay for the appointment and you have the transportation to get there and other things of that nature.
Child care.
Yeah. You're not paying this bill instead of other bills like housing or groceries. And instead have created this framework called reproductive justice, which looks at things in a much more holistic way. Because if you don't have some of the privileges that go along with whiteness in many cases, you see that, you know, pollution, for example, like, do you have clean drinking water? Do you have safe and affordable housing? Is police violence affecting your community? Do you have access to good education for children? These questions and these inequities are all wrapped up in your decision whether or not to have a family or expand a family. And so we're really grateful to be part of NF, which along with the organization Sister Song, which is the group that started this idea of reproductive justice. We're so grateful to be a part of this movement that has really broadened people's conception of what it means to fight for abortion access, and that it's not just a single issue that's like all on its own.
Yeah. I think that
a lot of things circle out from bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think, I mean, not that I can like speak on that, but that's like a really good thing to say. Cause like, you don't think about that when you hear the word abortion, or at least at least I don't. And like people I know, you don't instantly think like, oh, what are the other things that are happening around you? Mm-hmm. Is that the right environment to bring a new life into? Like, even if you could do it, like, is that the right decision to make? So it's a good thing to keep that stuff in mind too. That's cool. Cool. Anything? Do I have any other big questions? You pretty much nailed all of them. So I guess where can people find more information? Not necessarily just about the Jane Fund, but like the whole organization. Overall.
So abortionfunds.org is the address for the National Network of Abortion Funds. And if someone wants to give to their local fund, if they're not in central Massachusetts, they've got a list of every fund in the country and some in Canada and Mexico. And, you know, wherever it is that you're concerned about abortion access, there is a fund there on the ground, rooted in the community, that is doing this work. And then, you know, we have our website, our social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I would also, for folks who are interested in the idea of reproductive justice, Sister Song is a wonderful organization to plug into for thinking about these things more thoughtfully and more holistically.
So if people wanted to volunteer, is there anything they should know going into it, or can just anybody volunteer, you know, right off the bat?
Well, people often want to volunteer with us thinking that they can do intake. And sometimes Marcy does need new intake volunteers. The folks who do that tend to have a lot of experience, or, you know, you have some people who have been nurses or, if folks who speak other languages that are common in the Worcester region want to volunteer with us, that would be amazing. We also are really looking for folks who have, called an abortion fund, folks who have had an abortion, and people from the communities that have been hit the hardest by lack of access to abortion. So that's communities of color, LGBTQ folks, and people who have lived or currently live in poverty. Because those communities know best what would serve them. Yeah. And can speak to these intersecting issues in ways that maybe we cannot.
Okay.
But we, you know, Fundathon is a great opportunity.
Always in demand, you know.
Well, my mother. I didn't answer the phone and it's my mother.
Okay. Fundathon, if you're interested in just supporting the work we do, fundamentally what we do is we get money from people and then we give it to other people. So Fundathon, which is going on through the rest of the month and into May, is a great opportunity to just let people in your life know about abortion funding, know that, you know, find out that you support it if they don't already know, and to bring in some donations and get some new names on our email list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are super, super grateful to people who sign up as part of Fundathon. But even beyond that, I mean, we would love volunteers. We would love social media support. Right now I do our graphic design and I am wildly underqualified to be doing that. So please help me. And you know, if people have an interest in event planning, that's always useful too, especially, you know, as we go into the summer and can have some outside stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Awesome. I mean, I'm sure we can find some people out there that can help you. I know we know a couple of graphic designers that, you know, might be able to throw some time aside.
We're always looking for more good t-shirt designs.
Yes.
Swag design.
Swag's the best.
Yeah. And I also want to say, like, it's great you invited us to be on this podcast. Not a lot of guys, or at least not cis guys, are showing up for abortion rights.
We got to get them out there.
There is this myth that it, you know, you don't have to worry about it because if you don't have a uterus, it's not like your problem or something, which is so false. You know, I think everyone's life has been affected by abortion in some way. That sounds like a pro-life talking point, but I don't mean it that way. you know, the what is it now? Like 1 in 5.
Yeah.
People who can get pregnant has an abortion during their years when they can become pregnant.
And also if somebody is in poverty and they are unable to access an abortion, they will most likely be unable to get out of poverty versus accessing an abortion and changing a life, you know, being able to move forward in their life.
Yeah, for folks who are interested in that Marcy just shared, you can look up the Turnaway study, it's called. And it's this whole academic research project that looked at what happens to folks when they try to get an abortion and then they can't, either due to legal restrictions or not being able to afford it. And the findings are really heartbreaking. I mean, people end up with much higher incidence of mental illness, and are just much, much more likely to live in poverty. And this, you know, people don't realize this, but the majority of people who have an abortion already have children. These are parents. And it often comes down to like, I need to care for the children that I have.
Yeah.
And so the circumstances are maybe not what people assume. I think TV and movies lead us to think like this is something 17-year-olds are most often encountering. And there are 17-year-olds who need abortions. But statistically, it's like, you know, your local mom.
Everyone.
Yeah, it's just
someone,
everyone.
I had weeks where I had, you know, someone who was 14 and someone who was 44. You know, you never know when you're going to have a need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's like super important for people to hear. Cause like you were saying, TV and movies, definitely it's like the teenagers, like, right. Which like you're saying, they do need that, but yeah, it's across the board. It's important to bring up. Well, did you guys have anything else you wanted to throw out there?
No.
Also Jane Fund, also for people coming to Planned Parenthood, we also have a deal with them where we will pay for birth control. And we'll pay for if their insurance won't cover it, or if the situation is such that at that appointment their insurance won't cover it, we'll help them to be able to get an IUD. So we are also being proactive and just trying to be supportive in every way. Also try to send everyone home with a packet of emergency contraception.
Cool. That's awesome. So you guys are just kind of like, you know, there for everybody. That's awesome.
I wish we could do more.
Well, that's why we got to bump those donations up. That's
yes.
What we're going to do.
But here's the thing. Donate to your local abortion fund and also vote.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Those are the important things.
The two biggest things you can do. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was a very important episode. I'm excited for people to hear it for sure.
Thank you for having us on. We really appreciate you helping us spread the word.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. We'll get ready for that official fundraiser this summer. We'll throw something together.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right. We're going to hold you to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Cool. So thanks again. Big shout out to Liz and Marcy for coming on from the Jane Fund. As you can see, scrolling across the bottom, thejanefund.org. Just flood the donations. There's a link. There might be a link in our bio. I might have changed it back, but I want to change it back again. We're running our own like fundraiser. We have our own links for it and stuff to try to help raise some money for the Jane Fund and mostly just get information and access out there. It's really, really, really important. That was awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on. So normally this is where Travis and I would be like, oh yeah, what's up? Let's talk about some other things. But Travis isn't here. I'm, again, not going to talk to myself the entire time. So real quick, I'm just going to throw it out there. The Celtics are good, you guys. Celtics are up 1-0. It was a sick game last night. This won't air probably for a minute, but either way, you know it was a sick game. And by the time this does air, you will be that much closer to a new Kendrick Lamar record. I have no Worcester news, I guess, but obviously, actually this week, Woot Nanny, there's no town hall or no city council tomorrow, but they're doing a show on Wednesday. So make sure you guys jump on for that. Massive shout out to Brian for helping make sure that this actually happened tonight. I love you so much. You are a lifesaver. Sean, you're fine. I don't know. I got nothing else. So just go flood the Jane Fund with donations. And again, thank you guys so much for paying attention to everything. And we'll see you next week. Maybe Travis will be here, maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. Bye, guys.